Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are as the 9th of, tomorrow's 10-10 day.
Oh, what does that mean?
That's a very famous day as a Chinese, like a Chinese holiday. It's lucky day. It's a lucky day.
It's a lucky day.
Yeah.
That's nice. So I heard the train pass by recently.
Yeah, I understand you guys have got a new train down there.
Yep, we have a new train called the Bright Line. It's a private equity owned.
Why is it called that? Is it only run during the day?
No, it's run most of the day and part of the night. And it goes from West Palm Beach with one stop in Fort Lauderdale and one stop in Miami. So
people, West Palm Beach would take a train.
It's in the middle of it's called Clematis Street. So it stops off right in a really cool
Clemata?
Area. Clematis Street. Clematis.
I call it Clamato.
Chlamydia.
Please.
whatever you want to call it. But it stops there, which is a really cool street with, you know, bars and restaurants and really cool things. And it goes to Fort Lauderdale. And right across the street, there's a really cool place with bars and restaurants. And then it goes to Miami. And in Miami, there's nothing. However, they are building inside the train station in the terminal, if you will. They're building 27 retail establishments, mostly
bars and restaurants.
Yeah, bars and restaurants. And then you can get on a train called the People Mover, which is a little cool above ground, like a poor man's monorail. And it goes around to like the Heat State, you know, the Heat Arena, Miami Heat, where they play. You can get off there. You can go down to Brickell, which I've done several times and had some good things at the bars and restaurants there. So it's kind of cool. But there's a bar car on it, but people down here are so excited about it. It's like, oh, we have a train. We have a train. They all want to get on it and stuff. And they're doing something called the Polar Express, which is they're taking one of the trains and they're outfitting it like the Polar Express, the movie. With
the movie from 10 years ago?
Yeah. You know, they decorate it to look like the Polar Express train with all icicles and snow and Christmas.
The movie
Wonderland.
From 10 years ago or longer.
I think so.
Okay.
And then Santa will be on it and you'll get a cookie and you'll get hot fudge and you get stories told to you and all this stuff. It goes halfway up to West Palm and then back to Fort Lauderdale. The price? What do you think?
Well, it seems to me as though I think the price should be like a negative interest. They should pay you to go on something like that. But assuming that they're charging you, I would say, I don't know, $50.
Yeah, $65. And you come in your pajamas.
What?
$65. Maybe kids are a little bit less, but it's $65. And you come in your pajamas.
You said that a second time. You mean you go in your pajamas?
In your pajamas. In your PJs.
You mean there's going to be a train full of people wearing their pajamas?
Yeah, seems that way.
Oh, God.
You want on?
No, I definitely wouldn't want on.
I get you tickets. My wife works for them.
Oh, you get free tickets?
I do.
Oh, now you're talking.
Yeah, so the price is just right now. A couple of things to talk about before we get into the show here. I asked a question on Twitter this week. What they like most about the DH Unplugged show. Did you see this thread?
No.
So I put a little link there. Got some good answers. I thought it was some good
answers.
What
did they say?
Let's see. I like when you give stock tips. Love
of course,
theories.
That's all these things should be good. As all these shows and all these publications are supposed to be good for.
Yep.
Stock tips. Yep.
Banter. I like when you choose stocks based on possible future events like drought equals orange juice. We got some, of course, now... People, crazy theories several times, crazy theories. When it comes to the best market critic, look no further than Drew and his sidekick. With the closest of pin and the stocks that pick win, stock picks that win, bring back the freaking limericks. bunch of limericks in there. Somebody said the time that Andrew comes up with this crazy stuff, like the time when he discovered the excess sloughed skin in the corner of the armchairs at the doctor's office. Remember that?
Yeah, another one of your gross outs.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The newly introduced What John Dvorak Is Not Writing for PC Magazine This Week. So there's a whole bunch of stuff on there. Kind of funny. Then also about, I was thinking about this real quickly on the t-shirts, which are available for donations for the price of the show.
Yeah.
I was thinking about ending that in 2018 and kind of making it, a, you know, kind of a rarity component. Don't do this forever.
Oh, yeah. You should definitely cancel it.
So I think we're going to stop it in 2018 at the end of this year. So therefore, if anybody wants...
Well, can we have at least a half price sale once?
All right, Wendell. Well, just, if you do that, then nobody's going to buy till the half price sale.
Well, yeah, if you announce it, if you stupidly announce it.
So I don't think we're going to do that.
Okay.
You just killed it. You just killed the whole deal. But we may have a double the price deal. But anyway, if you want to get a t-shirt by the end of the year, this year, 2018, we're going to do that. Of course, you could donate the price of the shows. That's $426 in a donation. And we could do that. Then the one other thing I want to follow up on is, did you ever get that bottle of whiskey from the listener?
No.
The Breckenridge whiskey from Colorado. Never got that, huh? Hmm.
I don't think so.
Mm. All right. Well, if you're listening out there, let's do a quick market update with a big sigh and an ugh. Markets don't like to seem, don't seem to like all the good news. Lots of good news. And markets are like, no, we're not going to, no, it's too good. I think, you know, bond yields are starting to move up. Equities are swooning. Major markets last week were down, I don't know, anywhere from 2 to 3%. NASDAQ was down like 3.5%. The NASDAQ hit the 100-day moving average, then bounced. And that was the first time it hit the 100-day moving average since May of 2018. The Dow Jones Industrial Average still above its 50 and 100. The S&P tapped its 50-day several times, did it again today, and it held. As a matter of fact, yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, I think it was down like almost 300 points and then went kind of positive. And it finished down slightly for the day. So some crazy.
Yeah, what was the cause of that? That was weird.
The up, I don't know. They're just buying.
No, I mean, what was the cause of the down?
Well, you have a lot of things going on with China. China's growth rates are coming down. The yuan's going up. Yields are spiking. So you got 30-year, 10-year yields spiking. And that's causing a problem. The highest yields we've seen in years and years. So everybody talked about how if the 30-year got above 3.5, that was going to be a big issue. And started moving above that. And then we got this big spike on Friday and into Monday of yields on the long term. And that really put a kink in the equities. You know, here's the deal. It's pretty simple math. If I was to offer you this opportunity, I said, here's the deal. I'll give you 0.1% on your money. It's guaranteed. 0.1%. That's what you got. Or, you know what? I got stocks that kind of over time have done pretty well, and maybe they have a 3% yield on them, and at least that protects you from a little bit of downside risk, and you have opportunity for the upside. And generally speaking, markets are doing well. What are you picking? You're gonna pick the stocks, right?
Well, it depends. I mean, I would probably pick, I mean, I think normal person would pick the stocks, but there may be some people who just hate the stock market and they'd pick the bonds. But it's like, what's the point? You might as well just put your money in the bank.
Well, I'm just saying if the bank offers 0.1% or 0.5%. Now, the secondary question is, I come back and say, okay, you know what? If I can give you 5%, or I can give you stocks that yield 3% with the opportunity for some upside, of course, with some downside risk, 5% is guaranteed, your principal's guaranteed. What do you take?
I take the 5.
Right. Most people will take the 5. So what happens is, as rates are creeping higher, the trade-off of risk and return commensurate with the return that you get on the bonds is it leans much more towards fixed income. And bond and markets are not going to like that. So everything's, you know, a risk-adjusted return. If it's better off in a, if the risk-adjusted return lends itself to be better for the fixed income space or CDs or whatever you call it, money's going to come out of the market.
Well, I guess that's what's going on then.
Yep, I think so. Small caps dipped down to the 200-day moving average. Now, remember something. Small caps, for the better part of this year, have been on fire. And
they're bound to cool off.
Well, the reason was, well, you know, all these tariffs, and we don't want to be involved in some of these companies that have international exposure, these multinationals. And a lot of these companies in the S&P get their revenue derived from offshore and overseas and all that. So the small caps are like the place to be. And you can see that in the chart that I put up there on the show notes for episode number 426. They rallied. This is just June through October, but they rallied and now they've cooled off. They're actually down another 0.5% from here. But you can see that big drop off starting in September.
Well, that's the ETF.
Yeah. That's the iShares.
That's the Russell 2000.
Yeah, Russell, the small caps. But yeah, at the same time.
I think it's the beginning of the end.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know.
Why? You said it. Is you just saying it for effect?
Well, no, I'm looking at that. That doesn't look good.
No.
I mean, they lead the way. So they're going to lead. That's the beginning of the end.
It could be. Here's the thing that, as I've mentioned, that we saw that reversal from down 300. We've seen every dip become like a buy signal somehow.
Death gasp.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're having like a bull and bear cage fight right now. That's what it is. So here's an interesting stat that I wanted to follow up with and talk to you about.
Okay.
The S&P 500, a broad base of companies, high quality companies in the United States, right? And some foreign in there, is off about, I'll call it almost 2% from its high. That's not very much, right? Although
no.
These days it's like a market correction. But 2% from its recent high. While the average stock in the index is actually down 13% from its high.
Okay, I'm looking at this chart. I don't know what this chart means.
Well, this is a different chart. This is a secondary chart with this.
Oh, never mind.
This goes along with it to prove the point.
Okay.
So let me just restate that again. The S&P is off about 2% from its high. The average stock inside the S&P, though, is off about 13% from its high. The S&P is a market cap weighted index. Okay?
Yeah.
So that means that the larger stocks are holding up, as we just saw. The rest of it. If we look at an equal weight index compared to the cap weight index, it pretty much tracked pretty well through July. Everything was kind of moving up in tandem. Now, all of a sudden, there's a big dispersion. Whereas the cap weighted index is up 6.74%, meaning the larger stocks have that much more influence on the index and are really keeping it up. Whereas the equal weighted index is only up 3%. So about 3.5% differential between the two. And that is what is going on. So there's two schools of thought here. One is if the underbelly of the market is showing a lot of strain, not when you look at the average is down a little bit, 20 points here, 50 points there on the Dow Jones, whatever. But if the underbelly of the market isn't holding up, is that possibly like a sinkhole that is developing that will suck everything down and it's just a very thin layer over the top, right? Or is it kind of like, okay, a lot of the small companies aren't doing well, but the larger companies and the quality companies are holding it up, and therefore there's going to be a return to the, a reversion, if you will, of the other companies, and it's going to catch up trade and drive everything much higher.
I think the first part of the thesis makes more sense to me.
I would agree with that. Now, here's the problem. The problem is if the S&P 500 is only off 2%, right? We got that?
Yep.
But the average stock is down 13%. And you have an average portfolio. Therefore, your average portfolio is, I don't know, let's call it from the high down 6%. Let's just pick a number, okay? From the high. So you have a portfolio of stocks. And the opportunity to hedge often comes when you would buy a portfolio of stocks and a position through either options or inverse ETFs or short futures or whatever it may be of an index, right? That's how you usually will hedge a portfolio.
That would work.
It doesn't work.
Well, if that doesn't work, then it's not good.
Right. It doesn't work right now. Because right now, the things that you'd be shorting are hardly even down. It's the rest of the stuff that's down. Very interesting conundrum because I've been trying to short.
No, I see what you're saying.
So I've been trying to short into this for some, for our client portfolios that we manage. And the problem I'm having is every time I get near a short, I'm like, well, let's see how this plays out. And what ends up happening is our stocks, which we had a great run up throughout this year, are all of a sudden fading pretty well, and there's no way for me to really protect them.
Huh.
Unless I sell those stocks, of course.
Well, you can, how about putting some puts down for those same stocks?
You could do that, but it doesn't work. The way that you can go about that, you have somebody that has, let's say, 15 shares of ABC stock in their portfolio. If I have a put, it's on 100 shares. So it doesn't work.
Mm.
Very difficult process right now. So unless...
Well, that's why you get paid the big bucks.
I guess so. We're scratching our head lately. The last few weeks, though, have been a little bit rough on our stocks, and I have not been able to find a good way to hedge right now. I haven't had this before that I remember.
Yeah, it's always something new with the market. That's what makes it interesting.
Yeah, it always
it's like
is.
A baseball game.
It's always something new.
Yeah.
Yep. We saw the employment report last week come in a little bit shy on the new additions to payrolls. I think we had 134,000 that were added to the payrolls. Expectations were for about 180,000. But the rate was at 3.7%, which is the lowest since 1969, which I think was the Mets won the World Series that year. Speaking about baseball.
Yeah, the marvelous Mets.
Yep. That was my team. That was my team.
Huh.
But the interesting thing about the employment report, which at first blush, you looked at it and it was like, uh-oh, that's not looking so good. Only 134,000 added. But yeah, you said, okay, well,
low.
Yeah, but that countered by the fact that there was 3.7% unemployment rate and no change in the participation rate. So that's okay. But if you look inside the details, about 80,000 additions were added through revisions over the last couple of months. Big numbers. So I think the month before was revised up to 270.
Hmm.
So something's amiss, yeah. So just getting back to your bond thesis that you have talked about on a regular basis, about the bonds being the cause of the market collapse, something to do with bonds of some sort. A bond collapse will cause a market collapse. Mine,
maybe,
of course.
Municipalities going broke.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Starting with Portland.
And Illinois, and we just saw another one today. What was the other one I saw that was an interesting one?
Well, yeah, Illinois is in bad shape, so is Michigan.
And, of course, Puerto Rico.
Yeah, well, they can kind of fake it there because they can blame it on the hurricane.
Right.
And blame it on Trump.
Yeah, well, there you go. But the new UN secretary for the United States, Ivanka, will take care of things. You see that story tonight?
Yeah.
Hey, boy. She said, nope, not doing it.
Of course she's not doing it.
Yeah.
And he's like, it was just a lark.
I thought the funny thing was when he said, you know, people who accuse me of nepotism, this isn't nepotism. I'm like, what? What do you mean it's not nepotism? What? It's the definition of nepotism. That doesn't mean it's bad, but that's the definition of it.
It's just the guy I'm beginning to think is Scott Adams pointed this out in one of his little Periscope things. He says the guy's like a comedian in some funny way. He says after Taylor Swift apparently promoted a bunch of Democrats in Tennessee, Trump comes out with it and says, well, now because she's done that, I like her music 25% less.
Yeah, what does that mean? I saw that too.
And he said it was just obviously a ridiculous thing to say just to get a laugh because it was, you could say anything else, it would make maybe some sense, but 25%, really? So you got to wonder about some of this material.
Yep. Bonds, though, back to that, the value of the Bloomberg Barclays Multiverse Index, which captures investment grade and high yield securities around the world, slumped $916 billion last week. And this is the most since the what happened right after Trump's election, right after the victory in the election in November 2016. So we're starting to see some cracks in the bond area. And we're starting to see yields spread, get a little, you know, spread a little bit wider. There's some issues in Italy that are really horrendous. The banks there were locked down on halts yesterday, limit downs, because we're continuing to see some of the political issues arise where they're talking about going back on the lira, you know, possibly it'll leave. you know, not going along with the budgets that are being proposed by the Eurozone, blah, 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 causing all sorts of problems again. You know, I think they do this so that somebody will just say, hey, listen, if I give you $10 billion, will you just shut up? Just close the thing, you know, close the issue down. I think it's all a posturing issue. Like what Greece did.
I don't have a clue.
That was definitely a cricket moment there.
Just because I don't know what to tell you. I have no idea what's going on.
Well, I'm gonna get into your area of expertise. I'm gonna enter your wheelhouse, okay?
Oh, okay. I'm up at bat.
The Mega Millions jackpot.
Yeah.
Approaching 500 million. No one has won since July. I would think that you should be able to come up with some kind of way to figure out what the potential numbers are.
Yeah, you'd think, wouldn't you?
I'm just saying. You've been doing this a while. Do you play?
A monkey and a dartboard. That's my recommendation.
Do you participate?
No, of course not. Mm. I have the same chance of winning whether I participate or not. Right. So.
Well, I'm really entering your wheelhouse now because we're going to talk about something that I think is going to... It unnerves me, I must tell you. It's this new announcement of Facebook hardware. The company's unveiling a pair of smart speakers. You know, this is like the ride hailing, which is, you know, used to be called ride sharing. These are all called smart speakers.
Yeah.
They have cameras and microphones for your home. Yeah. Let me ask you a question real quick. Do you want Facebook to have cameras and listening microphones in your home?
Personally, I don't even have an account. No.
If the guy next door had it, I'd move. Seriously. The device are called Portal and Portal Plus. Now, there's an ingenious name, which directly challenges Amazon, Google, and Apple in the fast-growing smart speaker market with a unique approach that will emphasize video calling. So I'm not exactly sure how that works. But this is a Facebook's first
long product. Live the video phone. I think I first saw one of those in the 50s or something at Disneyland.
Yeah, the GE Carousel of Progress. That's where it was.
Well, they actually had a special – well, anyway, they had different exhibitions showing these things off. Nobody wanted them.
Isn't that the one where you'd go in and make a reservation for dinner and have somebody on the screen you were talking to?
No.
I remember that at Disney.
It's a little kid. This is way before your time.
Oh. I may not have been born. Just saying.
It's a possibility.
Yeah. Now, to start a video call, users say, hey, Portal. Hey, Portal. I guess.
Hey, Portal.
Call.
If you have a cat named Portal, what are you going to do?
Followed by the name of a connection on Facebook's Messenger service. Now, what's really interesting and really just dynamite here is these calls include entertaining augmented reality features that can outfit users with cat hats or turn their living rooms into animated nightclubs.
Okay. So I want to do that because?
I don't know. But if they've taken any lesson from Snapchat, whose stock is now under $7 per share, and there's a concern about ongoing potential for the company, they'll realize this is a major money loser, not to mention the potential for information acquisition that Facebook shouldn't have, which they're in the midst of getting probed about. What's the point of this?
I think it's all the high-tech companies in the Bay Area in particular. They're all paranoid, and they believe that they can't take a chance on anything. So if Google's doing something, they've got to do something. If Amazon's doing something, they've got to do something. If Apple's doing something, they've got to do something because everybody's worried sick that everything is going to take away their business. And we can do that too. We should do that too. So everybody's – it's all from paranoia. And it's the business decisions are just stupid. Nobody can say, this is dumb, let's don't do it, because why take a chance?
You know who's looking really smart these days with all this crapola? It's Microsoft.
Yeah, Microsoft kind of backed away from all that stuff.
Well, they've had a history of not doing things till they're too late, but this seems to be a methodology that's working to their advantage here.
Maybe, but I'll tell you this: I would actually begin to think that Microsoft may do this too.
Oh, Hey, Micro. They have their Skype. Hey, Micro.
They got Skype.
They do have Skype. That it's still, for whatever reason, it's worse now than when they bought it.
Well, for whatever reason, you know the name of the company that now owns Skype?
It's Microsoft.
Yeah, that's the reason.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay. It's just, it's not, it's like they can't put it together. They just can't figure it out for some reason. But anyway, this is a Facebook situation that they're trying to do this. I thought it was really poor planning and timing on their part. It looks like they had this and they're like, all right, just dust this off and get it out there. Maybe as a diversion from all the other crap that's going on. But it just seems to me to be a silly, like, what are you going to possibly, like, what do you need this for? You have a phone that does all this. Your iPhone does all this. Your iPad can do all this. So why do you need this to connect to Facebook? Anybody that's on your phone is probably in your Facebook. The whole thing's stupid. You probably get calls from like, oh, hey, Portal, call my whole high school class. You know? I mean, just, ugh.
Well, once the numbers and everything, somehow the connections get, these things usually get taken over by hookers.
Oh, there you go.
That's what happened. Minitel used to have these little, the earliest in the 70s, they brought out these little terminals for everybody in France. And they said it was a little, instead of that way, they figured they could save money by giving everybody a small terminal and getting rid of the phone books in France, which would cost a lot of money to print.
Yeah.
And this would be your phone book. And it'd also be a messaging service between everybody in the whole country. So they all had these. Within, I don't know how many years, two maybe, the thing was taken over by hookers.
Wow.
You know, just solicitations from all these hookers.
That's where this stuff always goes to. Down, just like we had Bitcoin and where to go? Right down Silk Road.
Yeah, there you go.
Right for drugs and hookers and gambling. Hey, Portal, call my gambling buddy. Play poker. Tesla. Hedge fund manager David Einhorn lambasted Tesla and its despondent chief executive officer Elon Musk on Friday, comparing the electric car company to Lehman Brothers, where he had flagged an accounting error several months prior to its 2018 collapse. So he short this company. It was his, he made a lot of money on it during the quarter. However, as a side note, I looked this up. Greenlight Capital this year through the end of September is down 25%. So he's comparing this to Lehman. And, you know, it's amazing where, see what he's doing is he's pulling out all the things that Elon Musk has been talking about. Like all the things he did last week with the short sellers. Did you see that whole thread?
Yeah, it was great.
That was crazy.
He has like gone paranoid freaky over the short seller thing with his stock.
Yep. It's crazy. So Elon is now still taunting the SEC by calling it last week after they approved, after the SEC approved the $20 million settlement paid by him and paid by Tesla and having him step down as chairman of the board and requiring that his tweets are passed through somebody. He's taunted the SEC in a tweet and called them the short seller enrichment committee.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty creative.
But he is getting weird. Just like Lehman Brothers, there is a point here. There is a parallel.
And yeah.
You know, Lehman's like, well, the shorts are taking us down. It has nothing to do with doing. Our stuff is good. The same thing happened with Enron. You got to stop the shorts. The same thing with the banks. You got to stop the shorts. It's not the short sellers. It's the fact that people are not buying your stock or not buying your BS, and there's something wrong. And you're trying to cover it up makes it even worse. It taunts the short sellers to really destroy you. But if you have a company that's solid, I really don't think that short sellers can, unless you have a very small float and you're, you know, doing some weird things, short sellers can't take you down.
No, I agree. Short sellers are a lot of the smartest investors.
Yep.
Not all of them, but a lot of them are. And they're all shorting this thing and they're doubling down.
Yep, they are. And also we saw that the SpaceX had a good, you know, takeoff and landing this week. We saw Richard Branson today say that it will be a matter of weeks, not months or years, that we're actually going to fly in orbit with a spaceship with a civilian.
Yeah, weeks. Sure.
Weeks.
Weeks. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Two shows from now, we'll talk about it. That'd be weeks. Weeks. 2 weeks.
2 weeks. I love Richard Branson. Do you think Richard Branson, do you think Elon Musk always looked up to Richard Branson, wanted to be him, and that's what he's modeling himself after? Because he's doing a lot
of things. I don't think so.
Yeah. He's a crazy dude. He jumps out of planes. He does some crazy, wacky. Right.
He stopped doing a lot of that stuff.
Well, he got too old. Ford Motor Company has told its 70,000 salaried employees that they will face unspecified job cuts as part of the automaker's $11 billion restructuring. Ring, ring. John. Oh, hey, John. Just want to let you know that you're going to be possibly involved in unspecified job cuts. Hey, how does that make you feel?
I would not be happy. And the UAW would have to have a say about this.
Of course. But they're going through $11 billion restructuring. These car companies are not doing very good. Morgan Stanley has speculated that Ford may try to cut 20,000 jobs from his global workforce of a total of 202,000.
What do you think that is? What do you think? What is it? You know, I think a lot of it has to do with once they started making reliable cars, I'd blame Toyota for setting the stage for this. You don't need to buy cars all the time. In fact, I drive a 25-year-old car. It runs like a top.
So the two things are they made cars that actually didn't fall apart after 3 years. That was first of all, to compete with the cars from Japan and around the world. The second thing is that I think I told you 2 years ago that I was very worried about them extending the term of leases.
Right, right. That was the scam. You pointed this out before anybody.
And what happened was that people weren't turning over rotating and turning over their cars as often. And that really put a crimp in, they got money up front, these companies, but it was a big problem. The question is, if the auto industry has not been able to capitalize on the economic growth over the past few years, when people are like spending money on anything, how can they ever be profitable? And what's the problem?
I remember when I was a kid in the 50s. And there was these, every year came out, I don't remember, I wasn't driving, I wasn't that old, but I do remember it. And in the 60s and 70s, you'd look back fondly on the 50s because of the cars. And you remember people who would buy a Cadillac in 1953, turn it in and buy a 1954, turn it in and buy a 1955, turn it in and there was the system was set up so they could actually sell the used cars and move them through the system to different communities that couldn't afford the new ones. But it was kind of designed where you'd get a good trade in. You can't get a trade in anymore. Nobody trades in their car.
Yeah,
the whole system is broken.
Well, now you have these companies like CarMax, which will help you sell it. But of course, they're taking a piece. Everybody takes a piece of everything. So in the end, the loser is the and everybody knows what's the old saying. You drive the car off the lot, it drops 20% in value immediately.
Yeah,
a new car.
Yeah, what's the point of that?
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
My last two cars have been used cars. They've been low mileage used cars that I got at a steal.
I've gotten low mileage used cars same way at a steal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you find there's always a guy out there.
Yeah, always.
People should note this. You don't have to just go out and buy something. You can wait. I waited a number of years for certain cars, but there's always some nutball out there that keeps the car garaged and polished and under the wheel wells, as clean as a whistle. It could be a concourse car. It's got no mileage on it, and the thing is in mint condition. You buy that.
Yeah. You probably get it at a good price. Somebody's always needing to sell something. Just got to make sure you're getting a good car, whether you get it inspected by somebody of good stature or you know what you're doing. But I don't understand. I mean, I do understand how the parts have gone up in price and the materials have gone up in price and employees have, require unions and pension benefits and all that. But it still seems like even with all the consolidations and the, various car companies that almost went bankrupt and revived and got everything wiped off and cleaned up their balance sheets and all. They just can't. The industry is. And I keep going back to the fact that the entire process sucks. The floor planning, where they have, 1,000 cars sitting in the parking lot, which they're paying on, and the company pays them back, and how that goes, right? With the leasing and the whole buying options and the. money that is given to them and the incentives and all that stuff. But, you know, go back to, and they're so deathly afraid of going back to having a small showroom. Back when people were buying their cars, those Cadillacs in 1954, they would wait for the car to be delivered, right?
They would order, a lot of people would order the car.
I'd order a car. I want a white car with black interior, with this wheel, that wheel, four different things. I'd like, do you want the AM, FM radio? Of course. Do you want air conditioning? Nah, I don't need air conditioning. You know, they had those things. Now I'm in Florida and like, okay, what car do you want? I'm like, let's see here. How about that car? Okay, it's got heated seats. I'm like, I don't need heated seats down here. Comes with a car. I'm like, I don't want heated seats. It's an extra $1,500 package. Why do I want heated seats?
You don't need heated seats in Florida.
No, definitely not.
Why is the car down there to be sold?
Because they just have their required amount of cars that come off the trucks that they have to sell.
This is the kind of centralized buying and kind of Soviet style distribution that I will say this. I used to go to Florida more often than I do now, and I would always avoid buying suits because there was new suits that come out. The styles changed a little bit. I'd always go to Florida and go buy and buy my wool suits in Florida at one of the various department stores because nobody's buying a wool suit in Florida. Right. They're always discounted. They're damn near giving them away. They're begging you to take them. And you can get the dynamite wool suits for almost nothing because in Florida, I don't know what the suits are doing down there, but somebody sent them down there and they have to sell them. And so they sell them to me.
That's like buying bathing suits in New York in the winter.
Yeah, probably you get a hell of a deal.
Right? Yeah. Now we got a lot of things on the list to talk about. I don't know if we're going to cover all of these, but do you want to talk about the chip spying ordeal?
Chip spying ordeal. All I can say is that it seems very dubious. There's something sketchy about it. It doesn't make any sense. And nobody who knows anything thinks either that this is real, really what's happening. And very few people who are experts in the area said this is not the way the Chinese would do it if they were doing it.
So let's then ask the obvious question. Why are these reports coming out?
It's either to move the stock of Supermicro around or... There's nobody, or it's to assuage Trump, who's looking for anti-China stuff. I don't know. I have no idea what it's been. Or it's just some guys that these guys who did the writing have done sketchy stuff in the past, and maybe it's just some get the hits. They want to get some more attention at Bloomberg News. I think it hurts the brand.
Well, it's interesting because data center equipment run by Amazon, Apple, and several other companies are all denying this. There's a little chip in the picture on Bloomberg on the article. They show this. This chip, a regular chip, if you will. Then they show this little bitty baby chip on the tip of
a pencil. Yeah, but it's not the chip. That's the other thing.
It's on the tip of a pencil.
It's just some little chip they took a picture of and put it and made an artwork out of it. That's not the chip. No one has shown anybody this chip.
Well, what's interesting is the company SMCI, Supermicro, which supposedly assembled the machines used at the centers and this whole thing, got hit twice. It got hit once for about 20%. It was down about 20-something percent today, and it only finished down about 15%. So the question is, if this is, you believe this is BS, right? That's what you're telling me. If that is the case, do we go out and buy the stock?
I'd say yes to that.
Well, then hold your horses. We'll get to that in a few minutes. SMCI is the symbol, okay?
Yeah.
Goldman is looking to reduce Marcus lending goals on credit caution. In other words, the company has this consumer debt, you know, with like lending club kind of peer-to-peer-ish or it's a small business or small. It's a business of small loans. That's another check for the crack in the fixed income market, the credit markets. GE had one of its best weeks last week. Shares were one of the best performers The question then comes, was this management change? Was this $23 billion charge? Was this a giant kitchen sink moment for them where they just threw it all and everything possibly bad, selling off parts? They sold off some of their energy business and all. Is this possibly going to be the turnaround that everybody's been asking for the last 2 years?
Well, I never thought about it, but it sounds like it could be.
Although,
you know, the thing is with GE, does anybody think they're competent enough to really know what to sell off and how to sell it off? I mean, it's Seems like a company's been a bonehead operation for the last decade.
It does seem a little bit like there's been some, like the company got too big and nobody knew what was going on in each of the areas. And there was possibly some incompetent managers and various levels that didn't have any checks and balances. And then things got away from them.
Yeah. Minimally.
Yeah. So
well, that was a lot had to do with Jack Welch, who was like extolled as this great guy. I think he screwed the company up. He's the one who put in stacked ranking as a methodology for getting people fired and that sort of thing. It's like the guy is a nightmare.
Where
and
is
he's
he?
He's taking credit for everything. And it really, if you think about it, the downfall of GE began with him. I think they were so irked with the guy when he finally quit. That's when they took his plane away and all these other guarantees he had. He had a golden parachute package that was pretty phenomenal.
You're talking about, and then Immelt came in and did the same thing.
Well, he was handpicked by Welch.
Right, but he had his own planes and private planes that nobody knew about and all sorts of weird stuff.
Yeah. No, these guys are not, they're not keeping their eye on the ball. These are not the good executives, it seems. Yeah.
Apple seems to have this leaked memo from Apple regarding a kill switch that will not allow outside repairs to some of their products.
Yeah.
So according to this memo, which, you know, who knows, the restrictions will apply to repairs that involve replacing a MacBook Pro's display assembly, logic board, and keyboard, and touchpad and touch ID. On MacBook Pros, it will kick in if the logic board or flash storage are replaced. And supposedly something happens that they have to do some, after they do this, there's a reset mechanism that is done by software that only Apple has. So therefore, if you do this, you won't be able to turn your computer back on.
Yeah, it's just highly illegal.
So this company,
Apple
iFixit,
would be in court immediately.
So it seems that
and it would be bad for their reputation. This has got to be a bogus memo. It's probably some suggestion one of the engineers wrote up,
right,
as how they could, you know, deal with outside repairs, and it's going to be rejected. This is never going to happen.
Well,
this is nonsense.
The company iFixit, that company that fixes your Macs and all that, said that they were able to successfully replace the display and logic board on a MacBook Pro without any issues. So,
yeah.
So you remember that stock you picked, Alliance MMA, that like went through the roof?
Yes.
And that was the mixed martial arts company that and all that. Well, after the beating, and I'm going to butcher this, Khabib, put on McGregor this week.
Yeah.
And after the fight antics, which I don't even want to talk about how disgusting that whole thing is, I don't like this whole sport anyway. So right after that, and after this really bad showing, Alliance MMA was down 18% on Monday.
Yeah.
So I wonder.
Well, it's just McGregor is one of their stars, and it makes the whole thing look sketchy. I mean, I agree with you. I don't like the sport either. I think it's just two guys, a bar fight with a referee is all it amounts to, and they're locked in a cage. I mean, come on.
Yep. Cage match. Another cage match. I'm making a prediction. Social media is going the way of MySpace. I think it's a number of just it's days.
MySpace was social media.
Yeah, well, but what happened to MySpace?
Well, it got eaten up by Facebook, which does the job better than MySpace did.
Yeah.
MySpace just languished. I mean, they didn't do anything to improve the product. And when they did, after Facebook kind of stole their lunch, MySpace, if you look at it now, it's not even, I mean, it's still in business and it's, you know, really it was highly improved, but it didn't do them any good. Of course, it was too little too late.
Those moving images and animations and stuff that people put on their site.
You won't see those anymore.
Oh, that was just awful.
Yeah, the cat, all the GIFs.
Oh, that was awful. Alphabet, Google said that, Google said to have exposed private data of hundreds of thousands of Google Plus users, then decided against alerting the issue to anybody. Now they're shutting down Google Plus for consumers.
Yeah, isn't that great? We have a problem. Let's don't tell anybody about it. What are we going to do about the problem? Well, instead of fixing the problem, why don't we just shut down the whole thing and then pretend nothing happened?
Right.
Yeah, they're great, that company.
So I'm moving through a lot of things fast because we have a lot of things. I want to mention this. I think this is important to show your genius, just your absolute finger on the pulse style when it comes to picking stocks.
Yeah.
Zynga. You picked Zynga a few weeks ago. Which is the game company, makes apps.
Right. I had a reason.
You did. You said Disney was going to buy them. but they were halted today on a spike at the news that is that the company's fielding takeover interest. Now, they didn't say which company was going to be. Unfortunately, the stock came out of your portfolio, came out of the portfolio, came out of the stock picks list. But that was spot on.
Zynga. It was one of my better ones.
Yep.
I do about two a year.
That was a good one. We'll see how that plays out. I'm very skeptical about these companies that talk about strategic options and talk about, you know, interest. I think a lot of times what they're doing is just bidding the stock up so the major players get the hell out.
Could be.
SoftBank, the big Japanese, what we call them, hedge fund kind?
I think call them a conglomerate.
Conglomerate. Is in talks in taking a majority, this is interesting, a majority stake in WeWork.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting about this is it reminds me, it brought back memories of the early 1990s.
Yeah.
Because WeWork has an incredible amount of space they rent slash own in various states around the country.
Yeah, they got a big operation in San Francisco.
I think they're the biggest holder of commercial real estate in Manhattan.
Really?
They're way up there.
Wow.
And
well, that snuck up on me.
So I don't know if this is actually going to be allowed to go through. Now they're not they're a private company, but I do wonder if there is going to be some concern that Japanese firms buying up massive amounts of USA property is going to be an issue for our government officials.
It sure wasn't an issue back in the day in the 80s when they were buying up massive amounts of property, including in half of Hawaii, trying to get a bunch of golf courses in Rock Center.
Yep.
Which they had to walk from.
Yes, they did. They got screwed in the end on that whole deal.
Yeah, big time.
And that makes you wonder if we're nearing a top, by the way, just as a side note.
I agree. Yeah. I'm totally on board with that idea.
Advanced Micro Devices is the current closest to the pin, so you have a couple more days. We did push the date till after their earnings announcement. And by the way, if you remember, I was short AMD unsuccessfully. The stock is down, I think, 20% from its high.
Yeah.
So
you had the right idea.
Yep. Okay. Now, just coming into the close here. Did you see this Wheel of Fortune situation, which I believe
is... No, I did not.
There's a picture there. You see that picture?
No, I'm not looking at it.
Towards the bottom. Towards the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Before we reveal this picture, I want to mention that it is that time of the show where we talk about donations. It's tough for some people to deal with. Some people love it. The people that find it tough is probably because you haven't given. So it's that time of year that maybe you should start thinking about stuffing our stockings. If you want to, just go over to DH Unplugged. You know, $25, $10, a recurring payment, $50. If you want to buy a shirt, it's $426 for the show. We will sign it, myself and John. We will wrap it in a special package. We will send it to you with the number of the show on it. Collector's item, not going to be around forever, not going to be half price. So if you want to get it, get on it soon. Just go over to dhunplugged.com and click on the donate button. And if you, if you never donated anything at all, I don't know what to tell you, but you're a major loser, right?
Well, I think it's deplorable.
Oh, bringing back that word from a couple of years back.
It works.
Yep. Okay, let's see. Golden shower is the word. Okay, so you want to read what this says here? This whole
The quiz or the whatever the saying was. It was called same name. And the letters are up there. Bridal and then a blank old shower. And the answer would be bridal and cold shower, but the person that was guessing said gold shower.
So everybody was all excited about that. It was like, oh, they said golden showers.
Well, they should, you know, have been thinking about this a little more in advance, it seems to me. I would have thought that immediately when somebody came up with that one.
Yep.
But apparently nobody in the back was paying attention.
Now, just to follow up on this discussion, this thematic area that we've talked about so many times because it's so goddamn disturbing. And that is the whole sex toy, sex doll, sex weirdness industry, okay? If I'm offending anybody, I don't apologize. But Sweden is now in on this. They're saying, you know, the government's saying, you know, we need to introduce safety standards for sex toys. Because a study revealed a growing number of Swedes were forced to seek medical help after items got lodged in their rectums. So the government's getting getting involved.
Yeah, government regulations now for apparently, according to your little list here, dildos, butt plugs. A study of a southern Stockholm hospital found just over 40% of cases. And then there's all kinds of other things stuck in there, I guess. Now, bottles, that, vegetables.
Candles.
What? Candles, yeah.
73 people per year over a seven-year period sought emergency medical help for foreign objects stuck in their butts.
What do you think is like an exaggerated story? Because if it's 73 people over 7 years, that's 10 people a year, less than one a month.
I don't think it should even be that high. What are you doing? Well, I mean, do you find this? You don't find this abnormal at all? I mean, this is not right.
I can think of other things I'd rather do with my time.
Getting something stuck in your butt. It's just not. British sandwiches are in a big. You know the chain Pret a Manger.
Oh yeah, Manger.
Pret a Manger. So, it seems that a second customer has died after eating food from its cafe that contained an allergen not revealed on the label.
Like what?
So I guess in December, a customer was eating a super veg rainbow flatbread. First of all, can I just say that should be outlawed to begin with, whatever that is. A super veg rainbow flatbread.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
and it contained a yogurt that was supposed to be dairy free, but contained dairy protein.
Mm-hmm.
So then the guy got sick.
Got sick and died. Somebody else died from...
He died from dairy. Wow.
I don't even know how you die from... Somebody else recently died from...
How did he get this far in life?
I don't know. Exposure to... And why didn't they... If they are that allergic, why don't they have like an EpiPen with them? But you have...
Yeah, well, it's easier for you to say.
Right. Then somebody else died from exposure to sesame seeds.
Yeah, these people get allergic to a lot of weird stuff nowadays.
Mm-hmm. We'll wrap it up with, we're not going to talk about this Interpol thing. Temperatures are rising. Let's see here. Global warming. I'm going to move on from that one and talk about this last one, which is trophies for all. Seems in Singapore, a move by the education minister says that whether a child finishes first or last will no longer be indicated in primary and secondary school report books for next year in Singapore. They're changing the law to allow each student to focus on his or her learning process and discourage them from being overly concerned about comparisons. I don't know, when I went to school, I wasn't concerned about comparisons and I pretty much did what I wanted. How about you?
Pretty much.
Yeah. So the next year, all examinations for primary one and primary two pupils will also be removed. And whatever forms of assessments they have will not count towards their overall grade. What is this? These poor kids.
It's nuts. I don't know. This is, this globalist agenda.
What is people?
We don't want to compare anybody because it might hurt somebody else's feelings. We don't want to indicate that this kid's smarter than the other kid. That other kid's dumb, but we don't want to say that. So let's just pretend that we don't see anything and then let it resolve itself later.
They don't recognize what damage this does. I've told you about...
No, yeah, I know what your thinking is, and I agree with you.
Yeah, it's a lot of damage here. The whole trophy thing is damaging it for 100 different reasons, aside from the fact that the truth is that if you let Johnny play on the baseball team and Johnny sucks, but you force him to stay on and then just give him a trophy so he feels good about it, Johnny could have quit that team. Maybe picked up a tennis racket and been the next U.S. Open star, but you didn't get the chance because he's playing for a participation trophy because everybody's good. Stupid. Yeah. With that, what are you not? What would you?
Oh, yeah.
Let me get this right. Let me get the verbiage right here. So let me ask you, what would John C. Dvorak have written for PC Magazine this week?
Well, I found this interesting. There's a you know how Microsoft was the... the big bully back in the 80s and 90s, and you bring something out and Microsoft would steal it from you. Yeah. And they would make it part of their product. They'd bring it into the operating system, so your little utility or whatever it was, you couldn't compete with them. Amazon's doing the same thing now.
What?
There's all these companies saying, oh, well, if we can't do that, because if Amazon competes with us. I mean, you know, now they've gotten the groceries and all this other stuff. So there's companies out there, just like they were with Microsoft, worried sick that if Amazon decides to visit the space, they'll be screwed. And this is the kind, and then Amazon goes out of their way to bully these. You know, they do the same thing. Amazon has become the new Microsoft.
The Amazon just took over, or not took over. Amazon just got into the mattress business.
Yeah, this is a good example right there. Dynamite.
And Mattress Firm, a company that I always had a problem with. You know me with the problem with mattress companies, right?
Yes. And I'm on board with that too.
Do you know that if I put all my money and I was absolutely certain about Mattress Firm going bankrupt, which they recently did, by the way, just this week. Do you know that I would have made no money on the short? Because what happened was the company was public. It was going down, it was going up, it's going down, doing its thing. I would have put that short on, right? Then they were bought out by private equity. I would have lost money on the deal. They're taken in by private equity. They go through the ringer and they come out the other side with a bankruptcy.
Oh, that stinks.
Yep. Unfair. Somebody needs to do something about this stupidity.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, whining. We got to call in the SEC on this.
Well, yeah.
Bad.
They're supposed to be helping the shorts, the SEC. Those guys are supposed to be all for shorts.
Yep. And by the way, if anybody ever hears, oh my God, those shorts, they're terrible people. Look what they do to destroy the value of America and value of the stock market. Let me tell you something. If you really understood how shorting works, a lot of times some of the reason that your stocks that maybe aren't doing so well get a bounce is because some news comes out that's good and maybe people aren't buying it, but the shorts are going crazy trying to cover it and move that stock up dramatically.
Yeah.
Every rally starts with a short covering. Take my word for this. You need the shorts out. You need the shorts out there. Let's get to the stocks as a game that we play. It's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. It's nothing more than a simple discussion between two gents sitting on a bar stool talking on a Tuesday evening about maybe some stocks that they think are interesting. If you decide for whatever reason to invest in any of these, well, make sure to do your own financial due diligence. Seek professional financial advice. John C. Dvorak, myself, Horowitz Company clients, may own any of the stocks listed. You can follow each of these on a regular basis over on dhunplugged.com, where we have an actual tote board that shows the actual up or down or in or out, what comes in the portfolio, what's out of the portfolio, et cetera. And it's live ticking throughout the day.
Yep. Well, our list looks pretty kind of pedestrian, the generic holdings did quite well, still up there. And also Walgreens Boots, one of my favorites. This is my version of some of your favorites.
Yep.
And then we have a bottom feeder, which I jumped on last show, or the show before last. Oh, no, last show. Yeah, U.S. Silica Holdings is up 5.8% already. And that was just a bottom feeding thing. You've got a new one you want to do, which is New Age Beverages. I don't know why.
Well, this is a kombucha.
Oh, God, that stuff's the most dangerous thing you can drink.
This is a kombucha company.
I would short it.
With all sorts of other energy, drinky kind of stuff that actually has recently come out with a product that's going to be CBD infused, and they're going to be one of the first on the shelves with a CBD product.
Oh, okay. Well, then I think you got a winner.
So now this stock was as high as $9 this week. It moves around a lot. I think I need to take at least a 15% on this one.
All right.
I'm going to write this down. It's probably not more like a choice. Probably 25%, but anyway, let's write this down.
Well, I've got two.
Are you going to put SMIC?
Oh, yeah, I've got three. I'll put SMIC.
Okay.
I think that's a good one.
We could share that one maybe.
Yeah, let's do a double. Mm-hmm. Double up on that. Those always worked.
That's true.
We've yet to fail on one where we both agree. I'm going to also go long on Kala Pharmaceuticals.
What is the symbol of that? SMC?
SMIC.
I'm one back.
Oh, sorry.
That's not it. SMIC? SIMC? Simclair. No, I'm not getting that. I'll figure it out.
Okay, we'll get it in there. I'm going to go long on KALA.
Oh, isn't that a pharmaceutical company? Did you say
yeah.
that? Okay.
Yeah. The stocks hit the tank. It's it bounced up a little bit, got a little bounce, and it's got insiders everywhere. They got RA Capital is buying in, Shah, some guy named Rajiv Shah and Gregory Grunberg. So we have a lot of different ethnic people jumping in.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, it means there's balance. It's not as though I just see a bunch of Indian names.
Ah.
So I'm thinking, well, it's just some cabal, you know, a bunch of guys get together, they all drink together, and they're all – no, this is different. So mm-hmm. I think this we have a good variety of people. That tells me something.
Okay. So insiders everywhere with some racist overtones. Go ahead. Next.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Racist is a racist pick. Now, the other one I got is a short. I'm going to short Adobe.
Oh, really? What's that?
Yeah. Chart.
Ah, chart.
But I also don't like their new strategy.
Which is what?
Well, I mean, they have their core competencies, the term that's very popular in this neck of the woods. And they've decided to go into competing with Salesforce because they have a couple of random companies and they bought into some company that supposedly can.
Marketo. They bought Marketo.
Yeah, Marketo. This is a fool's errand. Mm.
So, all right. Got that in here. I need a symbol for SM.
Supermicro. We'll just look it up.
Let's see here. Supermicro. Pro stock. I thought it was SMCI. What's the problem with this? SMCI.
Okay, it's what you said. SMIC.
Did I? Let's go back here. SMCI. SMCI. Did we just say SMCI?
I gotta take it.
Yeah, but it's not working.
Maybe it's been halted.
Google stocks. Finance Yahoo. Google Finance, NASDAQ, SMCI. It's not even there.
It's not here.
They don't have it on Google, which is where we pull the data from.
Oh, well, they have to. It's an OTC stock that is.
Google, let me waste 2 seconds of time here. Google Finance. Okay, I'm going to put in Super Micro. Won't even come up. Super Micro Computer. The wherever's nothing. Won't come up.
That's odd.
It says show your search for that did not.
You're on Yahoo.
Yeah, I don't understand. Supermicro comes up as a name, but then it won't come up as an actual stock. Isn't that weird?
Well, it's Google.
It's all right. We got another way that we could do this, so I'm not worried. This is just for you and myself on the inside. I know SMCI is the right one. So I don't.
OTC. Okay, we'll worry about it later.
I will get it going. All right. Other than that, I think we're done for the evening.
Okay.
And I will see you again next Tuesday.
Tuesday it is. All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.